Hey, folks, guess what? Tommy Chong is half Chinese, Portugal is in Europe, Honduras is in Central America, and the fourth comedian from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour was Bill Engvall. That's your fact check, dump, and corrections of the day. Enjoy the episode. Hello, folks, and welcome back to Culture Dumps. I'm Ryan Lichten, and I'm here once again with Eric D.
Hello.
Now, this is part two of our Carlos Mencia dump.
Mind of Mencia 2, Judgment Day.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the electric boogaloo. So, where we left you off, Carlos, born Ned, you know, one of 18 siblings, given to his uncle by his mother so he could go on to live a more successful life in the States from his birthplace in Honduras. And, you know, tough upbringing on the rough streets of East Los, and made his way through the Laugh Factory and then through the Comedy Store circuit, was on HBO, all the while taking bits and pieces from other comics along the way, noticeably so, but not to his audiences. But that's all about to change. We're going to get right into it. So, another successful comic who made their way up the ranks of the Los Angeles comedy scene and who also ended up on television seemed to have had a vendetta against Mencia. Not because Mencia stole from him, but because he stole from his friends and he was tainting the good faith of the comedy world. And that comedian was Joe Rogan. It's wild that Joe Rogan, where he is now, was like... like, really a flashpoint was him just destroying this guy's life.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly, the amount they've come. I don't want to spoil anything yet. I want you to tell the story, but I watched it happen in real time. Not the initial thing, but the after thing.
The aftermath.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was hosting Fear Factor. He had been on sitcoms. He had a pro fighting background. He would go on to be the announcer for the UFC. And he had a very early YouTube and social media presence. He started officially podcasting in 2009, but had been actively posting vlogs on his MySpace and YouTube before that. He was one of the first to really bring the Mencia rumors to the public, calling him Carlos Menstelia.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, saying, quote, "It's open season on fake fucking Mexicans," end quote.
Fair enough.
Rough. It sounds crazy. But he was seeing someone that he considered to be a hack, profiting off of the jokes of lesser comedians who would never stand a chance at fame if someone far more successful than them kept stealing their material. Carlos was hated in the club world because of stealing, but also because of bumping, which is when a more famous comedian comes unannounced to the club and takes stage time from the others. And he would do this hundreds of times, sometimes for up to 2 hours. Which is crazy. That completely alters the show. We talked about it on the last episode. All of a sudden now people that are, you know...
Do 30 minutes.
Also, you got to understand, it's not just like, oh, I didn't get to perform. No, there's like the talent scouts and like agents and things that come to these to see these people.
It's your showcase.
And they don't get a chance, you know? And also, the more they're up there, the bigger shot they have at fucking making it.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, it's rare to be able to pinpoint an exact moment where there is a changing of the guard. Usually, massive change is introduced in little bits at a time, and by the time the landscape has been permanently altered, no one even noticed the evolution until it was too late. But in the case of pre-social media influence on comedy giving way to post-social media influence, that moment can be pinpointed. And it was February 10th, 2007, at the world-famous Comedy Store in Los Angeles, California. This is the moment. Now, for the first time since Joe Rogan made the allegations against Mencia public, the two were put on the same bill at the Comedy Store. Joe was introducing the next comic, Kurt Fox, who was a writer on Mind of Mencia. And Joe introduced him as a writer on the Carlos Menstelia show, which infuriated Carlos Mencia, who then takes the stage and then starts to battle back and forth with Rogan. Someone filmed this because, again, before 2007 or 2000. I mean, the 2000s period.
Was this like a fucking sidekick? Like, what the fuck are you filming?
I think it was just a
video camera,
a small digital camera where you could film a couple minutes worth of shit.
Fair enough.
But no one had like small cameras like that, you know? I mean, now. You know, it's not uncommon for you to have to lock up your phones.
Yeah, now we lock them up.
You know what I mean? It's a whole thing. But now they're up there, and then the crowd is like, whoa, what the fuck is this? Because most of these people, especially in that room, had no idea that there was any accusations.
Sure.
Like, you're talking about the biggest guy with the TV show, and they're both known for being super confrontational. Joe was a tough guy. Mencia was the most famous comic in the world. So one microphone between the two of them going back and forth yelling, and Joe brings up Ari Shaffir, who he claimed Mencia stole a bit from word for word. And Ari was on the Latin Joke Fest, which is funny, and told the joke, which is that we talked about in the last episode, like mind sharing, you know, and just like thought sharing and like parallel thought.
It happens.
He told such a low hanging fruit joke where it was, the governor said at this time, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're going to build a wall to keep all the illegal immigrants out. And I'm like, who's going to build that wall? That's the joke.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one joke that started all this. And again, for Ari Shaffir to make it, like, that's like a racist joke. For Carlos Mencia to make it, it's like coming from the people.
Sure.
But still, low-hanging fruit, tons of similar bits, but they had performed together, and the mannerisms and the delivery were the same, almost like second by second. But Carlos said, why do you care? Why does it matter to you, to Joe Rogan?
Yeah, that's
just
like
outing himself.
That is a...
What does it matter to you
if I
steal from him?
I've called out people that have stolen from me before, and the defensiveness is outrageous. And I've called out people that have, you know, I do a lot of bootleg shit. It's mashups, but, you know, you could say it's definitely theft in some sort of IP sense. It's what I do, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But I've had people steal from me, and I'm like, hey, this is stolen. And they're like, well, I'm going to tell this property that you've, you know, and instead of being like, oh, busted, they get backed in a corner and they're like, well, I'm going to fucking tell on you.
But also, but him saying, what do you care? Why does it matter to you? Is basically saying, if I didn't do it to you, then why do you care so much?
Well,
I'm not saying I didn't do it to other people.
No, you should be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. And so the argument, it's super messy. There is video of it. And for a while, it's hard to decide like whose side the crowd is on.
Yeah.
But by the end of the chaos, it was clear that the audience had abandoned Mencia and taken the side of the accusers. Arguments and drama happen at clubs, so Carlos went home not really thinking too much of it, just like, fuck, that sucked. But the video of the fight made it to the internet via the Joe show, and by the time Mencia woke up, the writing was on the wall. Not long after the video of the now infamous call-out made its rounds on the internet, other stories of Carlos's sneaky and egotistical ways began to surface. It seemed as though just about anyone who was on the rise in the world of stand-up comedy had something to say about him, whether through personal experience or through someone they knew. Despite the backlash, Mind of Mencia went on to run for a third and then fourth season, totaling 52 episodes. After the fourth season, it was announced that the show would not be returning to air. The excuse given by both Mencia and the network was that they were worried about the show going stale and becoming redundant. The show famous for dee-dee-dee. It did not go unnoticed that the news of the cancellation came during the initial shitstorm of his scandal.
Sure.
So it's like kind of like, well, what are we going to do now that we can't steal? I guess we got to just cancel the show.
Yeah, we got nothing.
We got nothing if it's not others. Yeah. So by 2009, it was clear to Carlos that his career would never be the same. Long-standing future projects were canceled, job opportunities dried up, and he was essentially blacklisted from the business he once dominated. He became super depressed, obviously, started getting into drugs and alcohol for the first time.
What age? Do you know?
Like in like mid to late 30s. And it's like, well, the crazy thing about it is he talks about how, you know, he was married at this time. And he's like, my wife like never saw me drunk or anything. And all of a sudden, I am a drug alcoholic, fucking drug addicted alcoholic. It's fucking crazy. He contemplated suicide, But he says his wife got him through it. And in 2009, he was parodied in South Park in the famous Fish Sticks episode. Where Kanye West has his goons grab him. They're like, Carlos Mencia started the joke. He's like, no, I just stole it.
Yeah, that's
the joke. And then he appeared in the documentary I Am Comic, and he joked about the accusations, making light of it rather than using the opportunity to mend his reputation. He was too proud. It comes from the competitive upbringing. And like, I can't bring shame on the family. You know, too much is expected of me. He basically says like, oh, be careful talking around me. You know, I'll steal it from you. And it's just like, bro.
Dude, it's, I'm sorry, but I treat comedy as art. Mm-hmm. And people like me and you have a lot of like dark shit we want to get off our chests. And like making it a hokey, goofy, stolen thing to impress people is like, yeah, like it's fucking, it's the worst.
Well,
man.
Also, again, it's like these are thoughts that you're taking. It's, not, I mean. It's not so like personal. You're ripping off, like, I mean, I guess a riff or whatever. It's all art is thoughts. But again, with stand up, it's like, you're, no, it's literally one v, like imitating.
It's 1v1.
It's crazy. Yeah, exactly.
So there's no like common, like, there's only so many chords you can play. So many, you know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously, bands rip off bands, but when you're one versus one, like, yeah, that's your thoughts that you came up with probably at 2 a.m.
Yeah, you wrote them down. Then you went and tried them out. Yeah. And by the time they were good enough for you to want to do it in front, like, while you're opening for this huge comic and you have a huge audience, it's ready. And now he takes it from you.
Yeah.
So Carlos Mencia did eventually return to the stage, albeit a much smaller stage. Mencia went from sold out theaters and arenas to millions of people's homes every week to B and C list clubs, usually reserved for opening level road comics and local lifers who never made it to stardom. And it was in these clubs that Mencia learned to appreciate the fans that have stood by him all of this time and decided that it was his duty to still give it his all every night. Flash forward. At the dawn of the COVID-19 pandemic, many a comics found fame and fortune in the world of podcasting. With the population of the world stuck at home, comics took the still relatively untamed format like pigs to shit, and soon every profitable comedian had a sit-down, shoot-the-shit style show on every platform. There have never been more avid comedy fans so easily reachable. Because now it's not like, oh, well, they're in this town, they're in this town. Everyone's watching the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, and one would think that this would be a great time for Mencia to reinvent himself or use these platforms, you know, of respected comics to clear his name. Nope. So in 2021, Carlos appeared on Bobby Lee's podcast, Tiger Belly, where Bobby gave Mencia the chance to speak his piece and explain what happened, maybe even apologize, telling Mencia that an apology would, like, that's all it would take to fix everything.
You're on the platform that people respect.
This is it. Just say you're sorry. He refused, doubling down on his defense and, in a way, forever cementing his place in the world of fallen stand-up stars. And Bobby claimed that Mencia has stolen from him, talks about his bumping as a huge, huge problem. But he also credits Mencia with discovering him and giving him like a platform and letting
him
open for
him. I'm sure the whole thing's squirrely.
It's a lot of give and take.
Sure. But just stealing jokes in general is just the worst.
That's the thing. So in the years since his fall, there are many fans, comedy historians, and comics themselves who have reexamined the scandal surrounding Carlos Mencia. There are some that believe there was a racial aspect to his downfall, where he was forced out of the limelight by the man who would become the king of the next wave, Joe Rogan, and a bloodthirsty mob of racist comedy fans that could not bear the sight of a successful Latino man. And that's not helped by Rogan's choice of guests, you know, in the eyes of those who question his true motivation,
sure.
You know, especially behind ruining Mencia. And also Ari Shaffir, the comic that came up on stage during the fight, who they credited with, you know, is credited with being the one that Carlos directly stole from and ended everything. He was known for his YouTube show The Amazing Racist, where he would literally pick up like day laborers at Home Depot and take them to the immigration office and like horrendous shit.
He's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know him personally.
Right. But I mean, but that's what
I don't even know
for.
His comedy because I don't see him do
so it's like,
ever,
hey,
but
like Latino comic that like rose from like, you know, like obscurity and like pushed through all these barriers. You stole from The Amazing Racist this joke about immigrants. So you're ruined now.
That's tricky.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at it.
Sure.
Also, due to the vast universe that is the internet, we have learned that thought sharing is far more common than we once thought. But thought sharing only goes so far. The main case for this is a side-by-side video that went viral of other shamed comic Bill Cosby and Mencia doing the same bit identically, but Cosby had done it 30 years before.
Really?
The bit is how when parents have a son and the dad spends his whole, I'm doing it now. And he spends his whole life like, oh, I can't wait to get a catcher's mitt on my son's hand. And oh my God, son, we're going to be best friends. And he raises him up and he holds him on the bike. And, you know, he puts Band-Aids on his knees when he falls. And then, oh, they're playing catch back and forth. No, son, you got a wicked fastball. You know, we should get you on the team. And then takes him to the tryout, stays up all night watching the games with him. And then he gets into high school and he gets on that team. He's varsity, and the dad's there crying in every game. Come on, son, you got this. The kid gets into college on a scholarship, and then he makes it to the pros. It's his first pro game. He can't believe it. What does he say on television? Hi, Mom. And that's like the whole that's and like, fucking men see, like, dude, you put them side by side and it's the same thing. It's crazy.
I couldn't, like I said earlier, like,
and yes, I just did a Bill Cosby, you did, and it well. Carlos Mencia bit,
you did it well, you got Culture away Bombs. With it. Yeah
I got away with it.
You got away with it. I couldn't sleep at night, man, especially you getting paid for that shit.
I mean, it's, again though, like when he was doing it, there wasn't this endless archive of reference materials. Now you can never do that shit. You'd be called out in a second.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, local comics go down for like thought sharing with each other, you know, and like they get canceled on like a way bigger scale just because of the reach of the internet.
Sure.
You know, so it's some claim that he used reworked stock jokes, but who's to say? The damage is done and the trust is gone. No money, mo problems. By maintaining a regular presence on the road, Carlos kept working. And on June 18th, 2026, the world would find out just how much he was working and how little he was paying to the government.
Uh-oh.
The morning of June 18th, 2026, federal agents stormed the Fresno, California mansion of one Carlos Mencia, a.k.a. Ned, after an investigation uncovered upwards of $8 million in unclaimed income spanning from 2019 to 2024. $3.3 million of that was personal, and $5.4 million was from his production company, which handled his bookings and such. So it turns out Carlos was in the top of the top 500 tax delinquents in California, having racked up 78 notices to pay over the years.
Dude, oh my God.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It is now
like a tax guy or like,
dude, it's now estimated that he owes a collective $300,000 in back taxes, of which $267,594 is personal and $35,117 is corporate. And on June 22nd, 2026, Carlos Mencia pled not guilty to the charges. He is expected in court August 14th, 2026, and is facing up to 11 years in prison.
There's no way.
He was recently just interviewed on TMZ.
That dude,
I'm like Al Capone. Didn't pay my taxes.
Dude, that dude is still a multimillionaire. Just fucking pay it and go away.
Dude, he made $8 million between 2019 and 2024. That's fucking crazy.
He's been famous for so long. If you're trying to penny pinch $250,000 as a multimillionaire, like you're fucking,
you're bringing
dumbass.
In eight, dude. You brought in $8 million,
what a fucking idiot.
Yeah. So, what does it all mean? Well, I guess it means, to quote the band Cursive, art is hard. It is hard to stay on a good roll, and success can be scary. How does one keep capturing lightning in a bottle? Well, most artists would, as patiently as they could, wait for another bolt to strike and continue to try and harness the inspiration that compels them to create in the first place. But some artists, those with more of a competitive nature than a truly creative mind, see the work of others as things needing improvement, that they could do better, or even things to be used as stepping stones to lift them up to the next phase of their own art. That was Carlos Mencia. He did not see the art for what it was, but rather than a tool to bring him the success that his family had expected of him his whole life. The same success he came to believe he deserved, even if he had to steal and stomp on others to get it. And I guess in the end, he did get the success that he deserved.
Oh, shit. I have a quick Ender story.
Yes.
You know when you watch Rick and Morty and then the credits roll and then at the end has a whole...
I've never watched Rick and Morty.
Oh, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a generic guy, but it's a great show. It's a great show. So Joe Rogan got banned from the Comedy Store.
Right.
After he did that. That was 2007. I moved to LA in 2014 from Boston. In 2015, they let him come back.
Right.
And I went. It was in the original room, which is like 200 cap. Like, it's like 45, 200, yeah. 550.
But it's like the classic room from like the 70s.
Well, it's the original room. That's why it's called the original
room. The original room, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like if you think Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, like Bill Hicks, like that's the original room, you know? I'm sure they did it all, whatever. But Joe Rogan's return. So at this point, I'd known some people at the Comedy Store, and I'm like, I want to go see that. I, at the time, and to this day, I don't really care about Joe Rogan.
Right.
Also, for the record, I don't listen to podcasts, and I don't really I don't really pay attention to that.
No, I mean, if there's like a guest that I'm like super interested in, I mean, like they're not really, so, like, you know,
well, here's
whatever.
The thing. It was yeah. Bill Burr. It was Bill Burr. Not Carlos Mencia. Oh my God, Joe Rogan, Bill Burr, Joe Rogan, Rob Schneider.
Oh boy,
and then like
not looking good,
and a few other cats, you know. But this is like way
not doing the racial motivation for canceling Carlos Mencia's rumors any justice.
Exactly,
yeah.
Dude.
Not doing any favors.
Yeah, in hindsight, brutal. But so this is 11 years ago. So I go and I see the return of Rogan, and when I moved to LA, the Comedy Store was not bumping. Like, it was cool, and, like, it was like the Sunset Strip. Like,
yeah.
Like, I had come out here on tour a bunch, so I experienced the Sunset Strip as it was back in the day and the rock and roll shit, but it's obviously changed. Comedy was kind of in dire straits, too. It was
well,
fun.
Yeah, and they talk about that. If you watch, there's a four-part documentary on Showtime about the history of the Comedy Store, and when they get, I think it's the third part, or maybe the fourth part, but they talk about, yeah, there was a serious lull.
Yeah.
And like, because there just wasn't anything. And then the internet is what fucking kicked it back up.
I have like photos of that night. Like, you're not supposed to take photos, but I definitely was like excited in LA. And I have like photos of this dude's on stage or whatever. Joe Rogan does it. Now he's back. Now he's because he lives in LA or lived in LA. So he's doing it all the time. He's back. Kill Tony's going upstairs in the belly room.
Oh, right. Yeah.
All this shit's going on. Bobby is starting a podcast. Santino's starting a podcast. And all these dudes are, like, not quite famous yet. So I, like, when I moved to LA, I was meeting Bobby as, like, the guy from Mad TV.
Right, yeah.
Brian Callahan as the guy from Mad TV. Certain unsavory characters. it's been a long time. And that's, you know, how celebrity works.
Yeah, but that's how it goes.
I will say, after he got invited back and started promoting, because Joe Rogan, I don't have a personal connection with. I've met him quite a few times. I've always had a good time with that guy. Like, every time I'm in a room with, like, creepy guys, he's like, oh, like, I want to go see my daughters at home. Do you want to smoke weed? Like, he's a nice guy to talk to. I don't listen to his podcast. I understand he has idiots on it and has idiot opinions. But specifically talking about the comedy scene, he really helped.
Yeah, bring for it sure. Back.
And whether you love him or hate him, it benefited all of us. Left, right, fucking idiot, fucking, you know, political, whatever. And shit didn't get squirrely till obviously his podcast. And then he moved to Austin and brought everyone with him.
Well, I think that was
That's a different dump, I think.
Pulling comics from a different pool and making them all super big. You know, if they were going to do big viral shows like in the Comedy Store, it'd be a completely different brand of comedy, but it's just a regional thing. You know?
And just watching
it's
all,
just
these,
the demographics.
All these people I met that were famous to me actually become the most famous people in the world was insane. And being there for the Joe Rogan's first time ever back,
yeah,
it was like, it was pretty cool.
And then he
to
just took
that.
Off and he's like, you know what, I'm just gonna start my own. And then like pretty much has the only club that can like rival the store, really.
Sure,
as far as
but
reputation
I will say
and, like, star
I was,
power.
don't yell at me, but I was just in Austin last year and I've known the Kill Tony dudes forever. Red Band has been wearing my merch for a decade.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, you're in Austin, you want to come to Kill Tony? And I know people have issues with that, and I'm not like contributing to that or whatever. But we went and, you know, we went to the VIP afterwards, and it's called Mitzi's Room. Like, everything is dedicated to the Comedy Store. So even like a multimillionaire rebuilding a comedy scene in Austin, he's still giving props to the Comedy Store and Mitzi. And it's not like, fuck you, I'm doing my own thing. It's like, no, we're moving this thing because I have the capital.
Yeah. It's more of the comics that have that attitude that leave LA to go to Austin and then like want to be more extreme. But it's not necessarily what was started there.
It's a whole different vibe. And I've talked to people that move that want to move back. I, you know, it's all over the place. But it was super cool to see or whatever.
But Carlos Mencia ain't performing at either of them.
But is he performing soon? Can we Google that?
Let's see.
You can cut this.
Near me, Carlos Mencia
We'll do a Cultura Dumps meetup.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The Liberated Tour.
plug it. Just plug it.
I don't think... 66 upcoming shows. I mean, yeah, he's all over the place, dude. That's like, and now his pictures are like black and white with him like yelling into a mic like he's really got something to say.
Can we get ticket prices?
Oh, let's see. Yeah, he needs them now. Let's see. Oh, Las Vegas at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. Again, he's not playing at like, you know, it's not like at the MGM, you know. It's yeah, like yeah, yeah. No. But whatever. Comedy Club's a comedy club. Okay. General admission $30. Reserved. They don't have
$30.
Yeah,
welcome back, baby.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're talking upwards. I think the most expensive one's like $100, and that's like up his nose.
Yeah.
But yeah, on that there's an episode of Dark Side of Comedy about this. It's very good. But one of the surprising things when they're talking about other people that have stolen stuff, apparently Robin Williams was really notorious for stealing from other comics, especially during his Comedy Store days. Like because he'd be there all day. And so say like someone went up at 10, he would do like their shit at like at midnight. And like it was like that bad because he was just so cramped, but he would like rework it and make it way funny, or it'd be like or go up and pretty much do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and yeah, apparently he was pretty bad with that.
That's insane.
Yep. Anyways, Mind of Mencia is not streaming anywhere. I checked, so it's.
But Ryan's dad has one season on DVD.
My dad has one season on DVD, and you could pry it from his cold, dead hands. Essentially, is what's going on here, folks. Y'all, on our Patreon, patreon.com/culturedumps, we have all kinds of bonus episodes, dozens and dozens. We are putting up our newest episode of Is It a Dump? Where we ask ourselves, is it a dump? And we talked about the Island Boys, so you can check that out along with all kinds of other fun stuff. It really helps us out. patreon.com/culturedumps. Obviously check out Eric D's stuff if you haven't already. Meth Syndicate, it's everywhere. It's fantastic.
Right now it's Microwave X Salad, because
Microwave X Salad.
Instagram yelled at me, but I still will sell you meth if you DM me.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, you can't keep a good man down. All right, folks, thank you so much. This has been part two of our dump on Carlos Mencia. I'm Ryan Lichten. Keep on dumping.